John chapter 19 and verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered and said, Answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to worship God. We thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing Jesus, the Son of God. I pray that you'd bless us this morning. Lord, in this Christmas season, we would find more about our Savior than we've ever known. I pray that you'd help us to draw closer to him. I pray, Lord, that you'd inform our minds, affect our hearts. Help us, Lord, to love you better than we've ever loved you. We'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to call your attention to a phrase in verse 5. Where Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. My text reveals very clearly an essential aspect of the nature of Jesus. He was truly a man. The red blood that poured from the thorn wounds in his brow that day, and from the wounds on his back, from the beating he had just received from the Romans. That red blood provided plenty of proof that Jesus Christ was human. He was a man. Pilate's display of Christ on that day, Behold a man beaten, shamed by the soldiers, was probably intended to provoke pity for Jesus. He hoped to persuade the multitude, the Jews, to release Jesus. But his plan failed. But I want to place Jesus before you today in his humanity to show you that he was one of us in order to save us. Behold the man. I want to talk to you about the mystery of his humanity. Paul said to Timothy, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus was God before he became a man. But by becoming a man, he was no less God. He was still truly God and truly man. He wasn't half God and half man. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. He did not divest himself of his deity by coming to live among us. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. That word, that phrase, that verb, was made, he was made flesh, means come to be. The Word came to be flesh, and not just flesh and bone, but fully human. possessing human personality. The writer of Hebrews says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." In the creation, God made man in his own image and likeness. When God would demonstrate to man what God was like, he chose to become part of the human race, that part of the creation that was most like God himself. We were made in the likeness and image of God. He could never have communicated with us had he become a flower or a star or an angel. But he had to become a man in order to save men. In order to communicate with us, Jesus had to become one of us to show us what God was like. To enter into his creation, God chose to use the womb of a virgin. The angel Gabriel announced to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." By divine miracle, Jesus became the seed of the woman. He developed in the womb of Mary like all human babies develop, from an egg cell to a tiny fetus, to a fully formed human baby with tiny fingers, tiny hands, tiny feet, tiny toes. And he entered the world on that first Christmas night through the womb of the Virgin Mary. In the words of St. Augustine, God was compressed to a span. The mystery of that birth is well described in the words of the poet Tennyson in his poem De Profundis. This is what he says: "Out of the deep, my child, out of the deep, from that great deep before our world begins, whereon the Spirit of God moves as he will. Out of the deep, my child, out of the deep, from that true world, within the world we see, whereof our world is but the bounding shore, out of the deep thou comest, darling boy." Matthew quotes Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Brother Paul Roberts sings that song sometimes, "Down from His Glory." And it describes wonderfully the mystery of this child. "Down from His glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Without reluctance, flesh and blood his substance, he took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know he is the great I Am." Hallelujah. And Pilate says, "Look, behold, the man." And I'm telling you this morning, I want you to behold the man, the mystery of all mysteries, the mystery of the ages, God manifested in the flesh. I want to show you not only the mystery of his humanity, I want to show you the manifestation of his humanity. The fact that Jesus had a real human body was no trivial truth, brother. John warned in 1 John 4, 1 through 3, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." Listen to this. "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Now what John was saying here, he's addressing a common heresy of his day. And that common heresy was that Jesus only appeared to have a body. That he had a phantom body. He didn't really have a body of flesh and blood. But John says that comes from a wrong spirit. It comes from the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus indeed had a body. It wasn't just a phantom body. He had a real body of flesh and blood, just like you and I do. Jesus demonstrated clearly that he was human. He developed like a human. He was an infant. He progressed into childhood. He became a youth. He progressed into adulthood. He grew in stature. He increased in wisdom. He had human relationships. He had a mother. He had brothers and sisters. He had cousins. He had friends. He was a son. He was a brother. He was a neighbor. He had human emotions. He was angry. He was angry at the polluting of God's house. He was angry at the callousness and critical attitude of the Pharisees. He loved people. He loved his heavenly Father. He felt sorrow. He wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. He got weary. Jesus was weary and resting on Jacob's well when he met the fallen Samaritan woman. He got hungry and thirsty. Hunger drove him to look for figs on the fig tree, and there were none. And Jesus cursed the fig tree. On the cross, he cried, "I thirst." He slept like a man. He was asleep in the ship when his disciples, when the storm struck. He had a human name. Jesus was a human name. It was the name Joshua of the Old Testament. He was given a human name. He was a certain height. He weighed a certain number of pounds. He had a certain hair color, a certain skin color, and a certain eye color. He spoke the language of the common people, the Aramaic language. He talked like a man. He cried like a man. He perspired like a man. He sweated until it became like drops of blood in the garden. He talked to God like a man. He prayed. He resisted the devil like a man. He walked like a man. He worked like a man. He suffered like a man. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He bled like a man. He died like a man. Jesus manifested all of the marks of humanity, except that he never sinned nor ever was polluted in his nature by sin. Jesus manifested humanity in his body. Behold the man. finally, I want to show you the mission of his humanity. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was the mission of Christ. He humbled himself, stepped off his throne in heaven, came into this earth in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The writer in Hebrews tells us that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He should taste or fully experience death in the place of every man. Jesus came to be our substitute. Jesus became a human in order to die for humans, to reconcile fallen humans to God. That's why he came as a man. He came to die so we could live eternally. Jesus was a great teacher, but listen to me. His great teaching could not redeem you. He could talk about the cross all of his life, but the cross would never do us any good unless Jesus went there and experienced the cross for himself. He was a great teacher, but he could not teach the lessons of the cross. He must experience the cross, or we would perish. Jesus had to die so we could live. So, the cross is what made the crib necessary. And the blood of Jesus is what made his body necessary. Jesus had to become a man in order to save us. In order to die for us, Jesus had to become a man. When Pilate spoke those words of my text, "Behold the man," he was calling attention to a bloody, beaten man that was only moments away from hanging on a cross. Behold the man. This moment of suffering that Jesus was going through was his reason for coming into this world. His hour had come. He had spoken of this hour all of his life, and now this hour has come. And all of his life has been lived in preparation for this moment. He's resisted temptation. He's fought the devil. He's demonstrated the love of God. He's perfectly fulfilled the will of his heavenly Father because he knew he had to qualify for this sacrifice. Only a perfect, sinless sacrifice would do. And so Jesus stood before the world on that day, bloodied by his beating, a crown of thorns pressed upon his brow. Pilate saying to the world, "Behold the man." And they looked on this bloody man as he stood blameless before the world, approved by the Father, ready to bear the sins of the whole world in his body on the cross. The world was looking at the only perfect man. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, qualified to save us. And Pilate said, "Look, behold the man." When Pilate called the attention of the people to Christ, This is what they cried back. Crucify him. Crucify him. And I wonder this morning and this Christmas season, when we are looking at Jesus afresh and anew, what will you do with Jesus? This is the question to the world. Behold the man. Look at Jesus. The one that was born in Bethlehem, took a human body, and lived among us. Now what will you do with Jesus? Behold the man. Fulton Sheen said, he who had his birth in Bethlehem came to be born in the hearts of men. For what would it profit if he were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem unless he was also born in the hearts of men? It wouldn't give us any benefit whatsoever to celebrate the birth in Bethlehem if Jesus were not also born in our hearts. Hallelujah. It wouldn't have done any good for Jesus to be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem unless he's also born in our hearts. Philip Brooks, the great Episcopal preacher of the mid-19th century, made a tour of the Holy Land in 1866. And on Christmas Eve, he arrived at Bethlehem. He heard the church bells pealing. He saw the sun rays break through the dawn of a Christmas day. He was deeply moved by the place, the atmosphere. And 2 years later, after he came back home, he sat at his desk remembering that night. He penned a song for his Sunday school at Christmas. They sang that song in Sunday school that Christmas. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. We still sing it. And I love the words of this song and the truths that are in it. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. This is the reason for Christmas. Not just that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but that he came to be born in my heart and in your heart. Hallelujah. Oh, glorious day. Oh, wonderful day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But oh, glorious day. What a wonderful day when Jesus was born in my heart. And I still remember that day too, when Jesus was born in my heart. I've asked Karen and Brandon if they would come sing that song again. They sang this morning, opening up of the Sunday school. Come, Brandon and Karen, and sing for us this morning. You know what I'm hoping, trusting? Somebody's going to get saved this Christmas season. Amen. Jesus is going to be born in somebody's heart. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. The Muslims have no relationship with their God. He's far off, far removed. They fear him. They are in awe of him, but they have no relationship with him. But you and I can have a relationship with our God because he became one of us, lived with us, suffered with us, and for us. And you and I can know him, experience him, and have a relationship with him. and know that He loves us and cares for us because Jesus became a man. Behold the man. And we'll talk to you some more about Jesus. We'll talk about Him as the Son of God, but this morning we're looking at the man. Hallelujah. The man who lived among us, suffered for us, died so we could live. Tell us about Him.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child
the Lord this morning. Oh, glory to God. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for making that journey, that long journey from Your throne in heaven all the way into this sin-cursed world to be a man, to live with us, suffer with us, die for us. Thank You, Jesus, that You shed red blood. Oh, God, I praise You for this redemptive plan. Thank God. I'm glad, Jesus, You were willing to come. Hallelujah. Oh, what a mystery, but oh, what a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank God. Lord, I pray that You'd call to our memory how wonderful Jesus has been to us. Thank God that not only was Jesus born in Bethlehem, but Jesus has been born in our hearts. Lord, I pray that in this Christmas season, we would see souls right here in these altars, opening up their heart to the Son of God and making room for Jesus in their heart and life. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, may we worship You this Christmas season, Lord. Don't let us be distracted, Father. and by the tinsels and by the different things that go on at Christmas time, help us focus our mind and our heart upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give him the glory that's due to his name. Draw close to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'm glad you came. You drew nigh to us. I pray that you'd help us to draw nigh to you. Lord, bless us, we pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you have blessed us. My, we are blessed. Oh, Jesus, this is why we are blessed. You came. You are a man. God became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. I honor you this morning. I pray that Jesus would be more precious to us than ever before. We'll give you glory and honor for your help, Father. In Jesus' worthy name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.